Hi, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 173 on October 31st, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles for the people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the support my work button on the right hand side of my website. There is an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys that can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay, let's do a Patreon update.
Yes.
TM pledged $5 a month. Thank you so much for your generous pledge, TM. I really appreciate it. You guys have been rolling in the new patrons recently in the past 2 months. I believe my Patreon monthly income has increased almost $100. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. This helps a whole lot. In fact, one of the things that's happened recently is, as many of you know from listening to this podcast, I do massage. I've done massage for 28 years and counting. And one of the things that I have kept telling my current massage clients is that one of these days, I'm going to stop doing massage because the hands are starting to wear out a little bit. So I marked a date that I will stop doing massage. And part of the reason I'm able to do that is because of the income from Patreon. And that's one of the things that I had wanted to do, is to work less and do Pegging Paradise more. I also felt brave enough to jack up my prices, lose a few clients, make more money for working less time. And the confidence of that monthly income allowed me to do that. So thank you. This is an amazing thing that I'm able to do through your generosity and your support. I have some announcements. First of all, tomorrow is the month of November, and November has a couple of distinctions for me. One is the very publicized Movember, right, when all the guys grow mustaches. And I looked up the history of this. I know that, you know, November is when the guys grow mustaches, but I hadn't really looked into the story about how that started. Turns out that in 2003, there were a couple of guys in Australia who noticed that at that time, very few men were sporting mustaches. So they thought, how can we bring this back? And they decided that having a challenge in the month of November to grow a mustache and charging people for it and then donating it to a charity. So they researched the charities they wanted to support and decided that prostate cancer and men's health were what they wanted to support. That first year, there were 30 guys who said, yes, we'll do this. And since then, it's grown into a huge thing with, I think, over 600 and some million dollars donated from countries all over the world. The best thing that really encouraged me about this is that not only are they looking at prostate cancer and testicular cancer, but they've really widened their scope to, you know, why do men die early? And they're starting to look at mental health and psychological and emotional things. And they're starting to fund programs that help connect men who tend to isolate. These are some of the things that I've talked about on my podcast with vulnerability and men being expected to never, ever show weakness. There's connections there. So I really appreciate what this group is doing. I hope you all enjoy growing your mustaches, all the guys who are. I hope that you contribute generously to the Movember movement. very much related to this, and this is something that my friend Lucas Brooks started. He started this thing called Provember, and the reason he named it that was because although Movember talks about prostate cancer and prostate awareness, and they're raising money for it, all they talk about is prostate awareness. They don't really go into it much more than that. And clearly, this is a subject a little more near and dear to my heart, I guess you could say, here at Pegging Paradise, because the prostate is the whole deal, man. It's what we're talking about all the time. Lucas states it perfectly when he talks about how most men would just prefer never even to have to talk about their prostate and just have it there and never deal with it. There was an article written in 2015 regarding Lucas's efforts and the Provember thing he started, and I'll put that link on the Linkorama, of course, as well as the Movember information. Lucas's point, which is really well taken, of course, in my world, is that prostate awareness is one thing, but what about teaching men that regular prostate massage and regular orgasms are really good for your prostate? What about broaching the subject of prostate pleasure, which Movember hasn't touched with a 10-foot pole, of course? So, I am going to put a link to Lucas's website, and of course that link will be there for the article where he answers some great questions and talks about how we really need to change the way that people see this, that butt stuff is all taboo and freaky and people don't want to talk about it, which of course, you know, oh, we mention that all the time here at Pegging Paradise, but he's trying to change that by having an added dimension, if you will, adding an added dimension to Movember, and now it's Provember, because prostate health is really, really important. So two more announcements. I set another date for a class in Long Beach. That'll be December 8th. It's going to be right in the middle of the holidays, so you can enjoy even better holidays. Besides, come to the class and it'll make it very easy to know what to get each other for Christmas. Perhaps those packages should be opened privately, however. And my last announcement is that podcast number 175 is going to be another women's or givers podcast. I want to hear from the women. The deadlines for contributions are November 11th. Why do I want to hear from the women? Because all you women out there who love pegging, all the men feel so much more hopeful that we indeed exist. And we love it when you write in and tell us why you love pegging, how you discovered it, how you like to do it, all of it and any of it. I would love to hear from you. So November 11th, once again, is the deadline for contributions. Get them in by then and you'll be included in that podcast. And we can bring a smile and some hope to the men out there waiting to find a pegger of their own. Okay, let's jump into the letters. So I messaged you previously, I think like a year ago, about preparing for anal sex, whilst I had quite a large problem where anal would hurt. I've since, through both suggestions of your viewers and a new doctor, been able to get to the point where it no longer hurts, thanks to change in my diet, size of toys, and preparation before the actual full penetration. Yay! I've started pegging with a girl, and we've done it a few times now, with a small 0.75-inch diameter flared-based dildo, as well as a larger one, maybe about an inch in diameter. The second one is more painful, so I tend to like to stick to the smaller one. My issue is that now we're looking to try out a strapless strap-on, and I can't find anything that I like that's small enough. I bought a 1.25 diameter one, the smallest I could actually find, and I wasn't able to take it without pain. Also, I bought a decently expensive harness for it already, so I'm looking for one that's a single piece that works with the harness. I believe my harness is a spare parts Jacques, but it's something I could compromise on if necessary. I'm also looking for a silicone one because they're just so easy to clean and use. Where can I find such a silicone strapless strap-on that has a small diameter? Thanks. And this is Size Softly. I do recall you, sir. Absolutely. You were having quite an issue with receiving anal pleasure because the penetration was just too painful. So I'm so happy that you have gotten to a point where you are able to do this to a certain extent, even though the toys aren't big because they don't have to be big. So the only suggestion I have for you for a toy is actually one that is now out of production. I don't know if any exist anywhere, but that is going to have to be your project to see if you can track one down at a shop that perhaps has not sold their last one or something along those lines. It is the Fun Factory Share Extra Small. The measurements on that Fun Factory Share Extra Small would be 3 inches in length and 3 inches in circumference, which translates out to just under an inch in diameter, which would be perfect for you. So I'm not sure of the best way to track one down since they have been discontinued, but I know somebody's out there has got to have one. And, you know, it's an interesting idea, but there used to be a forum where people would sell used sex toys. Now, I know that kind of freaks some people out, but if they're 100% silicone, why not, right? And that has kind of fallen out of fashion. It used to be sort of a little marketplace that was an adjunct to a popular retail site selling sex toys. And I definitely bought some myself in my time perusing there. If anyone listening has a Fun Factory Share Extra Small that they don't want, no longer use, write in and let me know, and maybe we can hook you two up. But that is the only double that I know of that is that small. Now, it is only 3 inches long, so basically it would be about the size of her finger. And that may be perfect for you. I think it really would. You might want something a little bit longer, but with the diameter being so perfect, I think that's your best bet. So I am going to put a link in the Linkorama to that product so you can see exactly what it is. And I wish you the best of luck in finding one. Okay, next question. This is from my forum. I was listening to Tristan Taramino's podcast yesterday. The guest was talking about gender, and my mind wandered off and I realized I have a question for this community. I am a cis hetero man who loves getting fucked in the ass by women. Here's my question. Are these issues related? Is it a blending of sexual roles or just a kink? Maybe I just don't want to be left out of a social change, but I think pegging does challenge the gender binary. Okay, here are my thoughts on that. I'm not sure if pegging challenges the gender binary. I think what it does is it challenges gender binary assumptions, which is a little different. Up until now, there's been this very strict gender binary, and that has changed recently, and gender identification has become much more fluid. But I think what pegging does is challenges those assumptions. You have identified as a cis hetero man, and you love getting fucked in the ass by women. So rather than identifying in a more fluid manner, I do think it falls into the category of a kink. But I welcome opinions from everyone else who's listening. What are your thoughts about it? Here's the next question. This one came to me from Twitter. My wife and I are considering using a male chastity device, but we do not know anything about them. Can you direct us towards a good quality one? Thank you for the great lube information also. You're the first person we have ever discussed our sex life with. Thanks for being so upfront and caring about these things. I know that at one point in time someone asked this question, and I did respond, but for the life of me, I cannot locate that email anymore. And that was the only time that I ever actually researched and suggested specific equipment, but that's because the couple asking had asked really specifically about a metal cage. What I do have for you is 3 links to information that I suggest you check out first and then do some research on what kind of equipment. The first is podcast number 141, where a lot of people wrote in talking about chastity and their experience with it. The second would be a blog post where a guy left a comment waxing poetic about the different types of things that people enjoy about chastity cages and pegging combined. And last but not least, I also have a link to a thread in the forum on my website where some discussion about chastity cages happened. So those 3 things are going to be in the Linkorama. And then from there, what I would suggest is See, the thing is about chastity cages is that you have to decide what you want first. So I would suggest that you research it just like I would. Probably a good idea is to go to Amazon and read the reviews of the cages that are out there and what people bought. And if you also do research on the internet, you can find websites where people are talking about chastity because that's their kink, and they recommend ones. I know that they range all the way from metal cages that are custom built. You send them your measurements, to silicone ones that are pretty cheap, but some people claim they're really comfortable. For some people, the elegance and the kind of intensity, if you will, of a metal cage is something that really appeals to them. So whereas perhaps it may not be quite as comfortable as a silicone cage, that's what they want because they like the symbolism of it. They like the elegance of it. But in other situations, the guy is much more concerned about comfort and long-term wear. So yeah, there's lots of decisions to be made. And again, I welcome suggestions from listeners. Let us know what you have, what you like, why you like it. Okay, and this is another message I got on Twitter. Any tips on getting my wife to dominate me? Well, first of all, I suggest talking with her about it. There are a few books that you can get. Three that I know of are The Sexually Dominant Woman, A Workbook for Nervous Beginners by Lady Green, and The Femdom Experience. This is by Elise Sutton. And the last one is The Mistress Manual, A Good Girl's Guide to Female Dominance by Mistress Lorelei. And those three would be a great start. The thing is about wanting your partner to be dominant is you need to communicate to your partner what you're thinking of. In other words, you asked a very simple question, which is, any tips on getting my wife to dominate me? However, your idea of dominance and her idea of dominance may not be the same. So just using the word and asking her to be more dominant isn't enough information. I know firsthand that upon discovering that I had a dominant side, I still was rather confused about how to be dominant when I was with someone. This is where the books come in handy, but it's really essential to have a good conversation with her about what you fantasize about when you fantasize about her being more dominant. What does that look like? What is she doing? What is she saying? What is she not giving you? What is she giving you? What is she doing to you? What is she not letting you do? All of these different questions. So sit and think about it. Make some notes, maybe jot some stuff down about what really turns you on about it, the key factors, and try and give her as good of a description as possible. You don't necessarily have to put words in her mouth, but at the same time, if being called a bitch, you know, like you're my bitch, really turns you on, that's a good thing for her to know. And I am assuming that you two already do talk in bed about sexuality and things, because if you are not able to have regular conversations about sex and discuss your desires and your turn-ons with each other, then just dropping on her that you would like her to be more dominant in bed would be a bit abrupt. So yes, you need to have that conversation about your desire for more dominance from her, with the underlying foundation of an already good communication in your sex life. So if you don't have that already, start talking about sex. I've said this a bunch of times on my podcast, but my rule is, if you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it. And again, one time I said that, and this guy said, you know, well, then we wouldn't be having any sex at all. Well, great. So open up your mouth and start talking about it and sharing your wants and needs and desires and kinks and turn-ons and fantasies with each other. So, there you go. Another email. I've been wondering about the whole pegging turning him gay or bi thing that comes up on the podcast every now and then. I understand why you made the switch from saying if he's not gay, it won't turn him gay, to saying that yes, if he has latent bisexual interests, they might come bubbling up, but I don't see why this is such a big deal. Even if a woman's partner has a hidden bi side, why would pegging change anything between them? I'm straight, but there are a whole lot of other women I could be having sex with, but I don't, because I chose and choose my wife. We haven't pegged yet, and we don't do anal play on me as often as I'd like, but I chose her, and so there's no way I'm going to be getting another woman on the side or a pro, even though I'd love to be bent over. If I developed some bi interest, then wouldn't it be the same thing? Sure, a real penis, quote unquote, will probably feel different than a dildo, but someone you're committed to can do a pretty good job with fingers and toys. Wouldn't you just turn off the attraction for everyone else, male or female, if you're bi? Contrariwise, if you can't turn it off, then shouldn't she be worried anyway that you'll cheat on her with another woman, even if a hidden bi side never comes out? Granted, I might be completely missing something. I'm pretty straight. While I don't react with horror and disgust to sex between people of the same gender, I also don't feel any real need or desire to play around with another guy. But it seems like it wouldn't be a reason to avoid pegging, even if I did. After all, I chose my wife. Thank you for this letter. So here are some of the things that I've learned from reading about bisexuality. Partners of bisexual people sometimes have their insecurities about their partners cheating on them. It's almost like they have them doubled, because now they have to worry about both genders. And no matter how much you say that, okay, if you have agreed upon a monogamous relationship with each other, then you trust your partner or you don't. But there's something about being attracted to both men and women that flips a kind of terror switch in some people. It's like, oh my God. But see, that is also connected with the fact that a woman is never going to have the real equipment to be able to fuck a guy with. Sure, you can do a great job with toys and fingers, but again, it's all about insecurities. So either you trust your partner or you don't, but that's so tied in and intertwined with insecurities. I mean, if you're secure, then you trust your partner. If you're insecure, it's hard to. If your partner has a history of going outside monogamous agreements, then sure, your concerns are well-founded. But I think those are the two biggest things that make a difference. People kind of flip out sometimes. It's like, oh my God, if you're bisexual, that means everybody walking down every street is a possible person you could be cheating with. And they kind of flip out. And I don't get it. Some people, when they have latent kinks come up, really, really want to experience them. And I don't know, playing the devil's advocate here. If I was a guy and I got pegged and a latent bi-curiosity bubbled up inside me, could I live the rest of my life without ever trying sex with another guy? Well, it depends on who I am, what kind of agreements I made, how comfortable I am with exploring sexually. It depends on so many things. You're framing it within the context of a monogamous relationship. And there are a fair number of people who are moving over to monogamish, which opens up a whole lot more possibilities and fuels those insecurities sometimes. That's my thoughts on it. And as always, you listeners are welcome to contribute yours. Okay, this is a guy writing back from podcast number 159. As you may or may not recall, listeners, he is the 28-year-old that discovered he had testicular cancer. And he recovered from that, got treated, and he wanted to basically do a shout-out to all of my listeners that this is a really important thing to check for all the time and to be aware of, because if you catch it early, there's like 100% recovery rate. He absolutely had 100% recovery, because when he wrote to me, he had one child, and who knows, he may have two by now, but he wanted to spread the word about it to help other men. At the time when I responded on my podcast, I asked how he discovered he had it, and he finally wrote back. Here's what he said. Thank you so much for reading my email on your podcast and the feedback you provided. You did wonder how I found out I had testicular cancer. If you're still curious, I found out after a night out at a charity event for a friend's brother who had cancer, actually. My suit pants felt a bit tighter than normal, so when I got home, I did some feeling around. I immediately noticed that one of my testicles was hard. I mean, like, hard as a rock. Obviously, I knew this wasn't normal, so I went to the doctor first thing Monday morning. By Wednesday, I was in surgery. It was all a whirlwind, for sure, from diagnosis to surgery to the radiation treatment. All in all, I was lucky to find it so early and not wait around to see if it would just go away. As I tell my friends, check yourself every time you shower. Better safe than sorry. With Movember coming, one of the top organizations for raising awareness and funding for research on men's health, look for many of us Mo-bros sporting mustaches to help raise money and awareness. Thanks again for all you do. And he calls himself the One Ball Wonder. That is something you might remember from podcast number 159. Thanks so much for writing back in and letting me know that information in a timely manner for Movember, right? I love all this Movember stuff that's happening. So for all you guys out there growing the mustaches, I want you to be playing with your prostates too, because this is important stuff here. And checking your balls in the shower too. Let's do the whole shebang. Thank you for writing back in, Mr. One Ball Wonder. I appreciate the information very much, and I'm sure my listeners do as well. Next letter. We have been together 48 years and have just begun prostate play, partly because I can have a hard time having an orgasm. The next step is pegging. You've recommended the Tantus Silk, I believe, and we are ordering that in small and medium to see how it goes. Some of the toys I have used have been around 4 inches. More than that is too much. Looking to get a double as well. The one you recommend is way too big. Can you recommend one that would work for us? The Tantus Fieldo Slim seems okay, but I worry that it might be too hard. My wife will be pretty cautious and is sensitive. Hard things against her lady parts would not be good. Also, the lube you recommend is 12% silicone. We've had to stop using silicone because she gets urinary tract infections. Do you think the hybrid would be a problem, or could you recommend a water-based lube? Thanks. Okay, let's start at the beginning. I don't think I've ever recommended the Tantus Silk. I am well aware of that dildo, and I think from your description of more than 4 inches is too much, the small and the medium are probably just right for you. Normally, I deal in bigger ones, but there are absolutely men out there who like the smaller ones, and there's a couple of you on this podcast today so far. And you're looking to get a double as well. Unfortunately, doubles are really limited. I did have that suggestion from the person earlier in the podcast of finding a Fun Factory share extra small. So that's a possibility because, unfortunately, yes, doubles, your choices are limited. The Fieldo Slim would probably be the best choice because that is one of the smaller ones out there. But it is going to be somewhat rigid. It may, you know, be what you want. It may not. Unfortunately, there's no way to know. And as far as a water-based lube, if you're totally sure it's the lube, then you can use Sliquid's Sassy, which is specifically water-based lube, and it is meant for anal, so that is the next best choice if you must have a water-based lube. I have no way of knowing if your wife is going to react to the 12% silicone in the Sliquid Silk. The only way to really know is to try it, and if that resulted in a urinary tract infection, that would be a bummer, but there's no way to know ahead of time. Here are some other things that can cause urinary tract infections. Wearing panties that don't have the cotton there where the crotch is, because the cotton absorbs moisture and can reduce your UTI risk. Douching can cause UTIs. Tight clothing can. Not drinking enough water can. All kinds of different things. And an uncircumcised sex partner can as well. So, yeah, there's a bunch of different things that can cause UTIs. I'm just going to sort of take your word for it that you've tracked it down to silicone. And I did find a mention on a doctor's website that water-based lubricants work better than petroleum or silicone-based lubricants for prevention of UTIs. So you can try this Liquid Silk because there's no way to know if that 12% silicone is going to make a difference or not. Or you can just order this Liquid Sassy, which works perfectly well. It is formulated for anal use. It's specifically for anal. You're just going to have to use a little bit more of it. If you do get the Silk, let us know how it works for you. And good luck to you. Here's the next letter. Thanks for doing your blog and podcast. It's always entertaining, and I think you do a great job. Plus, it's nice to hear that people can actually have wilder sex and they don't have to be 18 years old. 58? No problem. Is it still pegging when the male is pegging the female? While this is fine erotic unusualness, it has a practical side. Early in life, it was doctor's orders to quit birth control pills, and later, it was for variety. Different cocks or sizes are just a matter of ordering the right products. Anyway, other than doing it for variety, it was later a lifesaver to deal with erectile dysfunction. So while it's kinky and fun, it has its practical aspects. Plus, all the equipment was available for traditional pegging, male-on-female pegging. Probably a sentence that has never been used. So my first time was a bit of a heart attack level of paranoid concern that this would be too weird, but instead it was just a heart-thumping bunch of horny screwing and, of course, strap-ons, unlike the normal male equipment. I lasted as long as she liked. No worries about premature ejaculation. Cough. Not that this ever happens to me. And I must admit, men, like some women, can get off just from the base rubbing your nether regions. But no matter if the guy does blast off into orgasmic land, the dildo soldiers on. Another plus is that while weight can make some positions unlikely with the God-given male equipment, being able to select your own somewhat abnormally large cock lets you do things like rear entry, which of course leaves the female person being pegged able to employ the orgasmatron, also known as the Hitachi magic wand. The strap-on permanent erectness also made great for doing porn movie type sex on top, from behind, cowgirl, all in one session. Yeah, technology is a good thing. Slightly weirder, also known as doctor's orders, after having had leg veins grafted to supply spare parts for a heart bypass, I was stuck wearing medical compression hose. The nurse doing the fitting suggested at least wearing thigh-high tights because the harvested and hacked-out veins were removed above and below the knee. Questions to the ladies. How can anyone wear thigh-highs and not have them roll down and cut off what little circulation you have? I don't know unless you're using glue. Since I was already going to be wearing nylons, it seemed no more weird to wear waist-high tights and pantyhose. After trying a few different brands, I opted for sheer because some of the brands were like wearing a rubber scuba suit and hotter than blazes. It was personally mortifying. Fear or shame? My significant other put that to rest because she really got off on the combo of strap-on sex from a guy wearing hosiery. Who knew? Personally, it was sexy, but maybe it was just relief that it didn't cross the too weird line for my significant other. Who knew women dug men in tights? Ha ha. Well, this combo has the unique feature of always starting off with laughter and ending with orgasmic bliss. Not a bad combo. And he signs it J and B. P.S. I wanted to add a plug for Smitten Kitten in Minneapolis that is an adult store that is super non-icky. If you're ever in the area, you have to check them out and pick up a patch they sell that says Girl Power with the picture of a strap-on. My therapist directed me to check out the Smitten Kitten after a session about communications and consent. When I told Jennifer, the owner, this and how this was probably unusual, she said I was maybe the seventh person that day whose therapist had sent them to her store. Better relationship and mental health through kink. Who knew? This was a great letter, even though it was difficult to read. Your writing style is a little unusual and a little bit confusing sometimes. So first of all, okay, let me respond to, it is not still pegging when the male is wearing the strap-on and doing the female. But I very much appreciate all the points that you made about why it's better. That sometimes, with, like you say, the God-given equipment that a man has, he wants to do a certain position, but maybe his cock's not long enough. So yeah, you can do all kinds of things with a strap-on. That's the coolest thing. You can get one that is rather firm and curved in the right direction so it targets her G-spot perfectly, and go and go and go and go until she's a little puddle of G-spot happiness. So yes, I very much encourage men to try out using a strap-on on their partner. I have heard of couples buying the spare parts deuce. That's a wonderful harness made for men who would either like to put their equipment through the bottom hole and a dildo in the top and perform dual penetration on their partner, or just tuck their equipment into the pocket down below and use a strap-on on the one on top. So I have heard of a couple using this for both her pegging him and him using a strap-on on her or doing dual penetration on her. And we do offer that in Entice Me. I'll put the link in the Linkorama for you. But yes, I highly recommend, you know, I've said it a bunch of times and I'll keep saying it. I highly recommend guys check out using strap-ons on their partner. It's one more way for a couple to have a whole lot of fun. So, okay, and moving on to talk about the hosiery thing. Oh, yes, there's a very handsome man in San Francisco that I talked to who loves pantyhose. I talked to him on FetLife, and the pictures he has up are just exquisite because he's got a very pretty body. And there's a whole kink around that. Some people enjoy both wearing the pantyhose and the way that it feels when they rub together and have sex, and they just cut out holes for them to fuck, right? It's totally awesome. So yes, pantyhose can be sexy. Thanks for writing in with that. And, you know, I ran into Smitten Kitten a long time ago when I very first started doing my blog. They do have an amazing store there. And Jennifer Pritchett was one of the first people who was really pushing hard on the whole toxic toy scenario. So I got to give her credit in that area. She's been such an active and outspoken proponent for safe sex toys only and for exposing the ones that aren't and the people who sell them. Absolutely. Thanks for your letter. Here's my next one. G'day, Ruby. Can tell what country this person's from. We've previously crossed paths on Twitter where I think I let slip I was working my way through your back catalog of podcasts. I finally caught up. What a prodigious body of work you've produced. And I thought that having gained so much from your work, it was timely that I give something back. So I'm writing with some feedback, some observations, and a piece of pegging-focused erotica that I hope you might like. Firstly, thank you. Thank you for me and on behalf of all the others I hear each week on your podcast. You do so much for your listeners, wherever they are on their journey. Whether we're experienced peggies, peggers, novices, or professional phallophiles, every one of us receives the same enthusiastic welcome, and we all finish each cast richer for the knowledge you share. Next, I wanted to give a shout-out to a toy maker for some of the best customer service I've received in quite some time. I bought my beautiful wife a WeVibe Tango to enhance our arsenal of toys about a year ago. It truly is an awesome bullet vibe, and she swears it makes all the others pale in comparison. When we could actually get the damn thing charged, I did some research online and discovered that our experience was the same as many Tango owners. Many toy reviewers and those commenting on review articles complained that the charger wouldn't stay connected to the Vibe, and charging it came down to either reconnecting the bloody thing every time we walked past, or sitting and manually holding the contacts together while doing something else like watching TV. Eventually, I realized that the WeVibe had sold us the Tango with a 12-month warranty, and I emailed them to ask if they could help. They wrote back and asked for proof of purchase. Not being a rocket scientist, I overlooked sending it in the first instance. When I got my act together and sent the proof, they emailed back immediately and asked whether we'd like a pink one or a blue one. And oh, by the way, there's no need to send either the original or its charger back. How cool is that? Some product flaws aren't quite as easy to remedy, so I thought I'd raise one that you or your listeners might be able to help out with. We use the Jacques harness for our pegging adventures, and we've long found it to be one of the most stable and easy-to-use harnesses available. The last thing you want to be doing in the heat of the moment is fiddling about with buckles and straps. The Jacques harness works a treat, and we'd recommend it for any pegging couple. There's just one small flaw, the two pouches sewn into the lining to hold bullet vibes. Problem is that the Vibe pouches run horizontally. My beautiful wife, like every other woman I met, has a vulva that runs north and south, or vertically if you like. The net effect of this is that the Vibe crosses her labia rather than settling in between them, and the Vibe buzzes loudly but ineffectively about 2 millimeters above her clitoris. To say she finds this frustrating would be an understatement. My beloved Maverick doesn't have a slot for a Vibe, so I'm kind of looking into the Fuse range of dildos, but I'm loath to give up my favorite piece of latex just yet. If you or your listeners have any thoughts about this problem, we'd love to hear them. Lastly, by way of thanks for all that you do for us and your other listeners, I wanted to share my first crack at writing some pegging erotica. I hope you'd enjoy it as much as I enjoyed writing it. and he signs it, "All the best, Calipigian, Sydney, Australia." So, first of all, I was right about the g'day at the beginning of this letter. Yes, you are from Australia. And the Calipigian, okay, I got to talk about that for a little bit before I talk about what was in your letter. Because Calipigian, the only reason I knew how to pronounce it is by putting it in Google and clicking on that lovely little speaker icon, and the nice lady's voice says the word for me. I knew it must have been a word, that you didn't just make this up. Now, the reason I'm thrilled to find out about Calipigian is because of the definition of it. Oh my gosh, it means having well-shaped buttocks. First of all, I would like to jokingly say that I would like a photo, sir, of your well-shaped buttocks. But also, thank you for teaching me a new word. I get all squirmy and happy when someone teaches me a new word because I have a love affair with words, being a writer. So yes, having well-shaped buttocks. I know I've seen that word before, but why I haven't put the definition of the word together with my clear interest of buttocks, I don't know. Or perhaps I just came across it earlier in life and forgot about it. Nonetheless, I am thrilled to rediscover this word, if that's what I've done, or to discover it for the first time. And I know that I'll be using this in some point in time, whether it's in speech or in writing. So yes, what a lovely handle you have, Calipigian. Okay, so let's look at your letter here. It was lovely to hear all the appreciation that you have for my work. It is my passion, and I feel so lucky to be able to do what I love. And I also feel so lucky that it helps so many people. And then the shout out for the toy maker. Yeah, WeVibe is an awesome company, and I'm so glad that they just took care of it and sent you a new one. And if anyone else out there is having a difficult time with their WeVibe Tango and it's still under warranty, then absolutely consider doing what this guy did. I have heard of the charging problems, but I heard that that was a problem that got resolved, so who knows? Maybe you got one that was an older model or something like that, but I'm really glad that they stepped up to the plate and just handled it. Now, as far as those horizontal versus vertical vibe pockets, I am 100% in agreement with your wife. I think the horizontal pockets are ridiculous. The only strap-on harnesses that I have encountered with the vertical pockets were sport sheets, and those are a lesser quality one that aren't going to last as long and perhaps aren't going to be as comfortable, but they do have the vertical pockets. But yes, this was included in my review of the Jacques harness, especially with the WeVibe Tango, which you mentioned gave you such good customer service, and which your wife waxed poetic about how amazing it is, like I do. It is absolutely the best bullet vibe out there by far. When you put that in as well, it is too wide because those pockets run horizontally. There's just really not enough room for the best bullet vibe out there, which is the WeVibe Tango, because the WeVibe Tango is a little bit longer than most bullet vibes. Yes, it's the best one, but combined with that horizontal orientation, it just doesn't work with the Jacques, which is such a freaking bummer. I don't really have any solutions other than the possibility of maybe sewing another pocket in there, which seems ridiculous for such an expensive piece of equipment. I hear you. Absolutely. As far as exploring the Fuse range of dildos, I highly recommend that. The vibe placement is superior, and they're ergonomically designed to fit perfectly right in the clitoral area. But if your favorite dildo is the Maverick, you're going to be sacrificing two things if you try out the best comparable dildo from Fuse. You're going to be sacrificing the softness, because what you've got is one made out of Vic skin, which is the dual density. You're also going to be sacrificing a quarter inch of width, because the thickest one that the Fuse line offers is the Wild with an E on the end, WILDE, and that's 1 3/4 inch, but it's the same length, which is 7 inches. But you know, you might want to try it out. Your wife might love it. And so might you. Thank you so much for writing in. And I know I mentioned your erotica when I read your letter. And as a surprise, I'm going to read that in its entirety to my listeners. But here's what happens. After you finish listening to the podcast, you're going to need to go to my website. If you're a Patreon member, the link will be there, right underneath the link for the podcast. But if you download this in a podcast, you will need to go to my website and click on the link there for the audio story. This is why. It's because I'm not supposed to put it up because iTunes forbids me reading erotica. This is supposed to be educational, right? And so I am not going to make it so that it posts everywhere. You're going to have to go to my website and click on that link that says Happy Anniversary to hear the story. And thank you for sending that in, Calipigian. I did enjoy it very much, and I'm sure my listeners will as well. So that is it for this podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also find my work at pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too twisted, too titillating, or too tedious. My listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. And the lovely lady with the British accent will ask you to leave a message for me without identifying that it is Ruby's phone number. But rest assured, if you dial 805-500-6544, that is me. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.